Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Hollering, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Lisa Tarvis on Psychic Vampires will be joining us. Yes, Psychic Vampires. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. He's not here this evening. Oh, no, I don't hear any English accent. Steve, hello, wherever you are. But Bobby, hi.
Hi. I can do it. I can do an accent for you if you like. Yeah.
I was wondering if you were going to, ad lib and,
I do, and then
maybe
I
we should challenge. We should channel him. No.
Maybe we could just astral fly him over. He's enjoying us all day. He's at the street number. Everybody in this country. Well, Bobby, it's okay. Sir. We're just happy you're here with us, girls, aren't we, Brenda? Bobby, what is it that you do? Who are you? Where'd you come from?
What is it that you do? Who? Really? Psychic medium teacher. Just kind of, it's interesting to feel other people's vibrations and help guide them to a place of better vibrations. You know, if they're, we all feel so stuck and create this fog around us, and it's nice to be able to teach people how to stop creating the fog and how to move forward and to, kind of hold a space for them to allow them to do that. And then one of my other wonderful, that I think is a wonderful form of healing, is bringing through people from the other side. And so I enjoy doing that as well.
The other side, huh? No, I'm joking.
The other side.
The other side. Is that the other side? I mess with you. Everybody, I take my work seriously, and I take your work seriously too, Bobby. Just got a sense of humor. Okay. Well, thank you, Bobby,
for part about being psychic. I can see past all that. I know you're joking.
Okay, yeah, I know. But okay, enough of my giggling. Okay. Hello, Brenda. Lady Brenda, how are you?
Greetings.
Greetings.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty fabulous today. I mean, I like to think positive. Really do.
And I can feel that, and I thank you, because it's so nice for me to feel that. It's all about me again, because it's like...
Well, no. Well, this is going to be an interesting one, I can tell. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
I think we're all going to enjoy this.
You're going to be preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, and we can give... I have something to say to some people, too. Well, Brenda, can you tell us all about your wonderful work that you do, which I find to be lovely?
Yes. Well, I work with all you wonderful people at PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a straight-up old-school psychic. I'm a predictive psychic, which means I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I really love what I do. I mean, I use tools. I use the tarot cards. I use the crystal ball, the playing cards, because I like it, because they're traditional.
Yeah, I think it's really kind of cool. Like I said, I've said it before here. I love the predictive psychic. That's a very good way of putting it. And you are very good at your time frames. Everybody, listen up.
Thank you, darling.
Okay. Well, I am an empath. No, I'm an empath, psychic, intuitive. You know, I utilize the tarot. That's I'm well versed in. My passion is the tarot, and I work amongst my co-host as well and other great people at PsychicAccess.com, and I love my work. It can be difficult sometimes, but it is what I'm supposed to do, so I'm doing it. So, with that said, I would like to talk about the power. Okay, Lisa Tarvis is our guest this evening, and the powers of natural healing and spirituality fascinated her. and it seemed like magic, she states this. And she knew from the moment what people searched their whole lives for, purpose. The result of her spiritual ability and exposure to metaphysics led her to where she is today. inspired her to attend the American Institute of Holistic Theology, where she earned her master's degree in metaphysical science and is currently working on her PhD in holistic health. She's also board certified as a holistic health practitioner by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. I like that. Lisa also practices meditation instruction, individual counseling, intuitive readings, dream analysis, and so much more. She's a lovely woman. And I think, hi, Lisa. Welcome to our show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. It's so nice to have you. And I'm looking forward to this show. I think a lot of us all are, because we all, I think, universally can understand what this stuff is all about. We're going to be talking about tonight.
Yeah. I think we have way too much involvement with these energy vampires. So.
Yeah, and you know, really, it's like we can't avoid them, but we need to learn how to manage or help ourselves to be okay. That's for sure.
Right.
Well, can you I thought we do have a question, but I'm going to ask. We have someone that wrote in a question. It's a great question, but I'm going to ask you that in a little bit.
Okay.
I think you can address it well, but it just to start out, can you talk about how to recognize, so we could all figure, you know, recognize a psychic energy, I call them vampire.
Yeah, a lot of times, I like to describe it as someone who, when you end a conversation with them, or you know, if it's like at a family function or something like that, and it's someone that you are related to, or you know, a member of your family in some way, shape, or form. And you get them in a conversation with them, you're just exhausted. I mean, it's just, you just feel like, oh my God. Like you have a headache, you feel sleepy, you just feel absolutely drained. And the word drained is perfect for, which is I think how the vampire thing came into play, because they're basically draining your energy just like a vampire would, you know, drain blood. So that's where the whole idea came from, but they're in all of our lives, and I think the most recognizable thing is we can tell when we're interacting with them. We feel it. If you see them come up on your caller ID, you're probably hitting forward to voicemail. You're like I do. I roll my eyes. I'm like, ah, I don't know if I can handle this tonight.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, that's how you know. That's basically how you know. One of the ways that I tell people to do is to make a list of everybody that you interact with on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a semi-regular basis, whatever. Everybody that's, you know, the people that are the main people in your life, and write like a word next to them, like, about how they make you feel. Do they make you feel good? Do they make you feel neutral? Do they make you feel tired or drained, and or in some way bad? And then everybody that you put as a bad or drained or whatever is an energy vampire, and they're the ones in your life that, you know, that are making you feel that way.
Well, you know, I'm wondering if, I'm just thinking objectively, not that I'm this way at all, but if some of these people, those people, you know, could it be also us being those people?
Absolutely.
And we don't recognize it and we're complaining about others?
I get people asking me that all the time. They ask me, how do I know if I'm one? And I think that sometimes people, I don't necessarily think that anybody can say they've never sucked energy from someone, because I do think that we all have the capacity and the possibility to do it. I think that mostly, you know, that you're doing it. If somebody's making you feel like if they're avoiding you, if they're making you feel like there's something about you they don't want to be around you for some reason, you're probably draining them in some way, shape, or form. And I think that that's okay. I mean, I think that certain people bring out the best and the worst in us, you know, just personality-wise and trait-wise. So, you know, if there's somebody that brings, if you don't like who you are when you're with somebody, maybe that you are sapping their energy, maybe they're sapping yours, who knows, who cares? Maybe if you don't have to, you don't have to have a relationship with them if there's a way to avoid it.
Yeah, you can also divorce your family members, everybody. No.
One way to deal with it.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I call, really there's names, emotional energy vampire, you know, the energy suckers, whatever.
Yeah,
I call them crazy makers as well. It's a great name.
Oh, yeah, that's
crazy
a good
makers.
One. I like that.
And I, so, you know, the thing of it is, I know where some people will, well, actually, I'm glad you addressed that question I just asked you, because I know sometimes I might be draining my family members or something. Mm-hmm. However, I think that they ask me to do so. They'll spin me around. It's almost like it's a paradox. I don't know. Some people just get you wound up, you know, and you're going around in circles and you're drained. And so, you know, those people in our family, or some people that see people on a daily basis, it's hard. So we're going to talk about that. I know how we can, you're going to talk about that. But what about, well, there's some things that we can do to, wait, actually, I wanted to bring this up. What is it physically, though, that can be really detrimental to people when they're around these people? What, I mean, there's can be some really physical problems.
There are terrible side effects.
Like
physical side effects, emotional side effects. People have said that they've been diagnosed with depression. They've had horrible headaches, actual dizziness, irritability, you know, anxiety. Some people are actually physically like sick to their stomach from being around someone that is sucking. You know, one of my favorite things is I call them energy suckers or life suckers. You know, because that's kind of what I feel like they're sucking the life out of you. You know, so that's one of the ways I describe them. One of the other words I use, but I think that there are a lot of things, and the problem is even with something, depression, headaches, dizziness, irritability, anxiety, all of those kind of things, over a long period of time, if this is somebody who's constantly in your life, somebody who's part of your day-to-day life, and they're constantly making you feel that way, you know, we all know our feelings create our future problems. If we're having depression problems constantly because there's somebody around us that is zapping our energy from us, then, you know, we could chronically end up with some sort of an illness there. So, you know, that becomes permanent, that, you know, that has to be dealt with. So, it can be a very serious issue if it goes on undiagnosed and undealt with, you know. You really have to recognize these people for what they are. And you know what, if you're one, you know, if there are certain people that just don't, they just bring out the bad in you, you're right. Sometimes it is. It's like a circle. It's like you suck the life out of you. You suck the life out of them. And it goes, you know, and it just goes, and that's very common in families, you know, because you're all so much alike that sometimes, you know, people, when you're so much alike, people just have a tendency to be able to, you know, to kind of know where to
push your button. Push the buttons. Yeah. You know, also in the work you do as well as what, you know, we do here, there's three of, well, there's usually four of us, but there's three of us here tonight. There's host, not only me, but because of the work as well as you do, for instance, for me, empath, I'm real empathic, and so I can pick up stuff where I don't even know people walking around, and I get the life sucked out of me.
Yeah. No,
and that's my responsibility, isn't it? Some people need
it
to even...
It is huge, and I treat so many empaths in my practice. I so many empaths. A lot of the people that come to me with issues, you know, and they've been on medications and all these, you know, different things to try and make them feel better. But the bottom line is that they're walking around being able to absorb other people's emotions without asking for it. You know, I have the same problem. And, I avoid large crowds like the plague, you know, because I don't want anything to do with no malls at Christmas time for me. You know, I can't handle all that anxiety and tension. So, you know, so there's some of the ones that I think that end up sitting across from me in my office most often are people that are, you know, just really sensitive to other people's energy.
Yeah, and that can be really sad because you know, it's just because it's the responsibility of the person that's very sensitive to kind of. So, you know, how do you shield yourself from these energy vamps, as you call them?
Well, I walk through life. I walk through life with personally with a layer of protection that when I years and years ago when I started understanding that there was something, you know, different about me and what I was able to do. and sense, I kind of ask the angels to come in and just surround me with a protective light that was permanent. I didn't want to have to remember, like, every day when I got up, okay, ask the angels to throw protection around you or throw protection around myself. So I asked them, I'm like, can you just throw a permanent white light around me to protect me from, you know, from any negative energies? And they did, and actually it did help. I did find it to be to really be effective. Now, if I'm doing a healing, or if I'm doing a reading, or you know, or something, and there's a lot of I know I'm putting myself in a vulnerable situation, I actually then physically ground myself and find, you know, and throw another level of light around me, which for me is always violet. You know, but some people do gold. Everybody does something different, I guess. But, you know, so that's how I protect myself from negative energy in general. With people that I know and I've already diagnosed as an energy vampire, I don't let them in my life. And that's difficult because sometimes they're, you know, there are people that they're your family, you know, and so, you know, if it's somebody that has to be in your life, you know, if it's a family member or somebody or your boss or, you know, something like that, somebody that you have to be around, you have to protect yourself from it. You have to, you know, there are several different exercises that I talk about. I wrote an article on this, and one of the things that I talked about that you can do is that you can actually like cut back on the amount of time you're spending with them. Another thing is to remember you're the one that has the control and, you know, over your life and what energy you allow to flow in and out of you. You know, you do have the control here. So you don't have to let anybody do anything to you. You're the one with the ultimate power. And I think people sometimes forget that it is a choice. You don't have to be drained. You don't have to allow somebody to drain you. You can fight them off. And, you know, if it's somebody like a family member that you can't really, you know, just ignore and get away from, you just have to, like I said, throw some protection around you and fight them off. Recognize them for what they are. Call it what it is. This person's a life sucker, and they're going to make me feel miserable. I know it. I'm recognizing it, and I'm not letting them do it. You know, it's almost like a stubborn contest for me. You know, when I'm around somebody like that, I'm like, oh no, you're not getting to me. You know.
I think. I was going to say something about that. I think also you can. I mean, these people aren't evil people so much.
No.
They're just they're tormented or lonely but so maybe with compassion might be. I know it's hard, but maybe have with compassion or try to deal with them with some type of, if you can, the caringness of it all. I know we're going to talk about the five emotional things. You know, we're going to go through that later, but with having compassion or just blessing their hearts.
Well, that's a great way. I mean, with compassion, really, everything is tolerable and everything is able to be managed when we practice compassion. So I totally agree that, you know, we have to remember that these people that are doing this are not out to do it on purpose. They're not out saying, okay, I'm going to go see Lisa today, so I'm going to like suck her energy dry so that she has to take a nap when I leave. You know what I mean? They don't do that on purpose. But what they're doing is they're troubled souls with problems in maintaining their own life force, their own energy force, and so they have to suck energy from other people, especially people with strong energy fields and people with positive energy fields. They feed off of that, and that's why then we feel so drained because they've literally just been sucking the energy out of our bodies when we're around them. And we don't even have to be in physically. I mean, as everybody knows, energy is not defined to being, you know, space. There's no space and time definition there. So it can be over the phone. It can be, you know, I mean, sometimes I think it's all through an etheric cord. I think we have cords attached to people. It may be somebody we haven't talked to in a year, but mm-hmm. there's an etheric cord there that that exchanges energy. They think about you, and they can actually suck your energy without you even having to talk to them. So, you know, that's another way of them getting to us.
You're right about that. In fact, well, I'll talk about that later. You know, I wanted to bring, there was somebody that sent in an email. I think this would be a good time for me to add. I'm going to ask you to address this, of course, because you're the guest. and here it goes. And this is a question from Maida J. Bartlett. Yes, Maida J. Bartlett. And she wrote in. I still feel like I'm on the TV. She wrote in, the question is regarding psychic vampires. As a teacher, I often go home drained. Is there a way that a person can be around some sort of individuals and keep from being drained? Some sort of technique. I have heard of one called zipping up that is supposed to keep your energies from being drained. Also, I was told that I open myself up and offer my energy to needy individuals. That is all well and good to know that, but I want to know how to stop myself from being drained, both from giving and from being taken.
That's really good. I mean, and as a teacher, wow. I mean, you're coming across every type of vamp there is, you know, every type of energy drainer that exists, you're going to probably have in the same room at some point in the day. So I guess it would depend on what they're doing and what they're actually doing to you. A lot of times you just have to keep your expectations realistic. Like if it's somebody, obviously, if it's somebody that's in, you're a teacher and they're in your class or they're, you know, it's another teacher or something and there's no avoiding them. Maybe if you, you know, realize that, you know, that you were saying about practicing compassion and things like that, enjoy the good that they have to offer you, but keep your expectations realistic. You know that you're not going to be able to get a whole lot out of this person. This person is all about them, and most of these psychic vampires are that way. They are all about them. They want, you know, they're obviously because they're trying to satisfy their own self-interest by taking your energy. And, you know, the other thing is limiting your interactions, obviously, is important, but also not playing into their whole self-pity thing. A lot of them like to feel sorry for themselves and, you know, and they just are looking for a therapist. All, you know, everybody they talk to is their therapist. So, you know, don't get yourself involved in that. Don't get yourself wrapped up in and sit there and try and do it. Oh, come on, it'll be okay. You know, it's not that bad because they're, no matter how great you take their life and put a spin on it and make it seem awesome, they're going to somehow turn it into negative, ugh, you know, and there's nothing you can do to help these people. So protecting yourself, you have to put yourself first when you're dealing with this sort of situation. So, you know, you can assert yourself. You can agree to disagree. I love that. I think agreeing to disagree is the way to go. You know, they can sit there and tell you how bad their life is, and you can sit there and say, well, I think your life isn't so bad. You know, I've seen a lot of people in worse situations, and, you know, we'll just have to agree to disagree on that, you know, and let it go. Trying to change them or fix them is going to exhaust you even more.
Yeah, and that just kind of maybe just goes back into another whole thing about codependency.
Right.
And for the codependent person that wants to help everybody that, she, like she says, she's drained both from giving and from being taken.
Right.
And it's like a role people get stuck in.
Because of the fact that she's trying to help. And if you're dealing with children especially, I mean, if she's talking about like teenagers or children, your automatic reaction is to try and help them. I mean, that's just kind of human nature, I think, is to help. And then some of us are just natural born, you know, we're naturally born trying to help. We just want to help everyone. And if you're that kind of person that just wants to constantly fix people, and that was me my whole life. I always wanted to fix people, you know, everything, everybody, every problem, you know, I needed to put a big, you know, shiny bow on it and make it all better. you know, when you're doing that, you're setting yourself up to be incredibly disappointed by some people that don't want to change. And, you know, I don't care how great of a healer you are, how much power that you have healing wise, you can't fix someone who doesn't want to be fixed. And a lot of these people don't want to be fixed. They mm-hmm. like the role they're in. They like it. You know,
they like crazy
like
making.
they like playing the role they play. You know, that gets them the sort of attention. And so us not playing into the hands of that is the only way to protect yourself is completely recognizing them for who they are, what they are, and not playing into their hand, not allowing them to do what they are naturally trying to do, which is suck our energy. Not consciously. They're not saying, "Oh, I'm going to go suck our energy." No, it's just who they are. It's how they operate. They're just troubled. I think of them as troubled souls. You know, a lot of times I describe them as just very young souls. You know, they're lost souls, you know, things like that. And there's just a lot of them.
Yeah, and they've probably been able to do this for quite a while, too.
Yeah. I don't know that there's anybody that can say that they haven't run into a person like this at some point in their life.
I mean, agree. That's why I wanted to do a show like this, because this is we can all identify with it, whether
right.
we're the ones that are doing it or not. But
absolutely.
What about the
absolutely.
Zipping up? The zipping up she's asking about. Have you ever heard of that? She wanted to know
zipping
what's called
up,
zipping.
I have heard of that, and it's a way of putting protection around yourself. From what I've heard of it, I don't actually practice it myself, but I have read something about it, or somebody described it to me, and it's like you're putting on, like you're almost wrapping yourself in a coat bag or something, you know, or one of those fancy bags, and you're kind of just zipping yourself up and protecting yourself like that. I describe the same sort of thing. If I need fast protection, like I need to protect myself quickly and I don't have time to, okay, picture the light coming into my crown chakra and all that stuff. If I don't have time for that, I picture like this big, like cake plate going over top of my head. And that dome is the light. And I just picture like it being like, I'm actually sitting here hammering right now, but I'm like, no, you can't see this, but you actually take it and you like are like seeing it light, just like boom, like on top of you. It's the same sort of concept. You're going
right.
to, you know, you're quickly protecting yourself very quickly. It's a quick way of doing it without having to get into any kind of meditative mode or anything like that.
It would be like maybe having a containment or something.
If you collect dolls and they have those little, like those covers that they're on a stand and then they have a glass
yeah.
cover over them. That's
what
I use. That's what I picture as a thing that's just boom, covering me right away and I'm totally protected and it's in 5 seconds. I don't, you know, sit there and deep breathe first and then, you know, start grounding myself and all that. It's just real fast. And that's the kind of thing that zipping up, I think, is referred to as.
It sounds like it. You know, it seems like to me you can either give in, which sometimes you're so vulnerable and you're exhausted,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you play, for every action there's a reaction. You'll go back and forth, which is just you'll become a mess and you're sick to your stomach or whatever. But then
mm-hmm.
it is hard sometimes, but it's sometimes better if you could just, especially with family, if you could just, contain yourself or actually go under something. Hide under those beds
kind
or
of
something.
Like wanting to hide. You want to hide from them. You know, you want to kind of you want to just kind of like you know, it's like it's a way of avoidance but still being in the room. It's almost like you're zoning out, just trying to not let them get to you. I think there's a part of me that my fighting back and my not letting them get to me even for a second is the only way I know how to win. A battle with one, because it's the only thing you have is your own willpower and your own stubbornness to not let them, you know, get your energy. You know, I work hard to maintain my energy level throughout a day. I have my energy. I need to put my energy into my clients and the people I'm working with and, you know, the people I choose to. You're not stealing it. You know, it's like stealing my car or something. No, you can't have it. It's not yours. You know, it's mine. And so, you know, and that's, that's the only way I know how to really make it to make it work. But for each type of vampire, there's a different type of self defense tip that goes along with them, and it's actually very effective. I mean, it just depends on the type of person the type of person you're dealing with. But it's pretty much all the same, you know, in some ways, because it's not taking it personally and not engaging in a war with them and not engaging in a any kind of playing into their hand of, you know, becoming their therapist and all of that.
Yes, you know, also you could just ignore them and shut your mouth. No,
yeah.
I know that's very difficult to do.
If you can do that,
but
if you can actually do that, see, I like fighting back, and that's actually not a compliment for myself. But I don't. It's very hard for me to just sit there and ignore somebody who's like purposely trying to antagonize me.
Yeah.
You know, so I will get to a place where I'm like, look, here's the way it's going to happen. Okay, this is not going to go with it. This is going to work. You're not getting what you're coming after here. You know, and I will physically say it to the person. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to bring me down. You're not doing it. You know, if you're honest like that, trust me, they don't want to be around you much anyway.
Yeah, you won't play with them anymore. Really, in some ways, they can't suck your energy out, right?
Yep, I'm calling them out on it. I'm calling them out on the carpet, and I'm like, you know, I recognize you for doing exactly what I see you're trying to do, and I know how you've made me feel in the past. You're not doing it anymore, and you're not somebody they're going to want to be around anymore because they're not going to get what they need from you, so why are they going to waste their time with you?
So we can teach them something, because we really can't avoid these people because we just have to manage them.
I prefer to manage it. I don't think we can change them. I don't think we can fix them. I don't think that's our job. I think that the only thing that we can do is protect ourselves. And for me, you know, a part of that protection is not just about protection, so like as in a light or something, but for me a little bit of it is saying, you know, is actually fighting back, being just, no, not, you're not doing this. You know, I recognize what you're doing, and it's not going to happen. And that's hard. And if you're not a confrontational person, that's a very difficult thing to do, which is why you have to, you know, there are alternative measures that you can take, like, you know, not taking things personally and not playing into their whole drama thing. But like me, I'm confrontational, so I have no problem.
That's okay. You can come over and be on my side then if you want. You know, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break from a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com. Lisa, we'll be right back, everybody.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Lisa, and we're talking about this lovely subject called psychic energy vampires, sucking as I call them crazy makers, as well as what are we to do with these people? But I wanted to ask you. I was reading what you did a great article on this, by the way. That's I read it, and
you
talk about an energy connection that forms between two people. And so, can you talk about what that is?
That's the etheric cord that I mentioned earlier. What that is anytime we have any kind of emotional feelings, you know, for someone, whether it's a friend or any kind of relationship, situation at all. Once there are feelings exchanged, once you feel something for that person, have a connection with them, an actual invisible cord is formed out of energy between that person and you. So that's always there unless you purposely sever it, which is what I call etheric cord severing sessions. where you can do it on your own. A lot of people come into my office to have me do it. But basically, the cord is a cord of energy. It's a cord that, if you're dating somebody and you break up and you haven't thought about them in like 2 years, and all of a sudden you can't get them out of your mind. Like, they're just constantly in your mind, and then before you know it, they're emailing you or calling you or something. That's because the energy, like, you felt all of a sudden you started thinking about them, and somebody initiated the energy going back and forth. So whether it was you thinking about them first or them thinking about you first, somebody initiated the energy exchange, and it reawakened, and so boom, now you're stuck thinking about each other again, because the cord was never actually severed. So if you're in a damaging, like a relationship that's damaging to you in any way, shape, or form, you want to, when you're letting go of this person, the last thing you need to do is sever any kind of energy cord that's between you and them, so that they can never again suck you back in, because that's why we all end up going back to exes and things like that, because, you know.
That's a good point. Everybody listen to that. That's a very good point, because it can go on for years and years and years.
Yep, it can. It can, and I see it all the time, and I'm like, and I just keep thinking, exes are exes for a reason, people. Why are we doing this? You know? But I know why we're doing it, because the etheric cord was never severed, so.
And is that cord the same thing as I've heard for... Is it the angel practitioners talk about a cord? I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
Probably.
I think it is the same type of cord. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it's the same type of cord. I think they call it etheric cords as well. And they're formed between. They can be between. Like you can even have them with your deceased loved ones. And but they're not draining if they're on the other side, or if they're in spirit. They're not going to drain you like they do when, you know, they're actually on the same physical plane as you are.
And their intent is different, too.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't want to sever it. You know, if we've lost someone that we love, we want to always be able to feel them if they're around us, you know, and we feel that through that cord. You know, we feel their presence through that cord. And so we don't want to get rid of that. I wouldn't, you know, unless it's somebody you don't want to remember, you know, for whatever reason. I'm sure there are some of those. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to get rid of that sort of a cord, but anything with anybody from my past that is not, it does not bring up good memories for me. You know, it's bad memories and ickiness. I just I sever it. I just literally picture a cord that looks like a hose going from them to me, and it's just I just actually get scissors and sever it, or I call on Archangel Michael to use his sword and slice it in half, and, you know, and that's the end. That's my favorite one. Sometimes the sword really kind of just helps.
Lisa, I wanted to ask you about the five, it's probably a good time, I think, to go through, because I've read a little bit about this, and you talked about this in the article you wrote too, about the five emotional vampires. Maybe we can, and how to combat them. So maybe
go through them. This was not me that wrote this part. This was somebody, Teresa, I don't know how to say her last name.
Bouchard.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, but she's the one that defined this, and I found it fascinating because it just resonated so well with me. You know, when I read something, I'm going to use it in an article or something. I want it to resonate with me well, and I want to be able to sit there and think. Or, you know, sometimes I'll have my own version, and I'll kind of manipulate what they said. But what she put in here was very, very. It resonated very well with me, that I really kind of felt like this is right on, you know, so there wasn't anything I needed to change. But the first vampire is the narcissist, and we've all come across the narcissist.
Yeah.
This is a grandiose, self-important, attention-hogging, hungry for admiration. This is a type of person who's usually very charming and intelligent, until the guru status that they think they have is in some way, shape, or form threatened. So anytime they start feeling like they're going to lose their grandiose kind of, picture of themselves, they become that's when their claws come out, and that's when they, or their teeth, I should say, come out, and that's when they start, you know, sucking energy. A self-defense tip that she recommended for the narcissist vampire is... to enjoy the person's good qualities, but keep your expectations realistic. This person is going to have a motto, me first, So getting angry or stating your needs won't phase this person. If you want to, like, get this person to cooperate with you, you can show them how you're asking them to do whatever it is you want them to do, how it's going to help them. That's all that matters. Is it, if there's a way that you can get what you want and make them think that they're getting what they want.
That's very important. Everybody, listen up, because. So you have them feel as if it's for their best interest.
It's
all about
them
always.
It's somehow making it better for them. It's somehow helping them or making them look better or something like that. And see, that plays a little bit into the game playing that I refuse to do. So for me, that wouldn't work. But for some people, that works really well, because like somebody who is very non-confrontational and they just have this need to want to help, then if they can figure a way to do some reverse psychology on the person, that works for everybody and they're happy.
And also works for a narcissist, because it's always about them anyway. So
if
their self-interest is there,
exactly,
and you're handing them,
you're feeding them. I mean, I think it's kind of a way of feeding them, but you're also protecting yourself. So, that's got to be your first thing.
That's really good. I like that tip, dealing with that. And okay, so carry on.
Okay, the second vampire is the victim. Ugh, this one is the most annoying, I think, of all of them. And you know what? This is probably the one I think is annoying, because I think this is the one we all will say we've done at one point or another, that we'll all recognize in ourselves. This is the vampire that thinks the world is against them and that demands that others come to their rescue. They play the role of a victim. They want to get people to pay attention to them because, everything's bad in their life. So if everything stinks in their life, then everybody should be helping them. All of us have been down, when we're feeling like pretty crappy and whatever, and we're not in a good place. And I think we all have had a tendency that if you think of yourself as being a vampire in any way, shape, or form, this may be the one you play into once in a while, and it's just because it's a very easy one when you're down to kind of play the victim and feel sorry for yourself. So the self-defense tip she mentioned was don't be their therapist and don't tell them to buck up, limit your interactions, and don't get involved in their self-pity. So, I think that was a simple one, but it's also, I think, one that's most common.
It's very difficult to do that with someone who's poor me, this and that.
I know.
They get control of others to see them and the other people around that are the villains or something.
it's hard because, I agree. It's one of those things where you have, this person who's just, and maybe they actually have legitimate reasons for feeling icky, maybe they have really good reasons. I'm using icky a lot tonight. Maybe they have real reasons for feeling the way they're feeling. Maybe they have had a really bad run of bad luck or whatever, but, the fact of the matter is nobody wants to hear somebody constantly complaining. And nobody wants to hear somebody's problems all the time. That's what you use your really good friends for and your close family members for, is to kind of get, that. But when you're just going around spreading your woe everywhere, at that point, you're just trying to suck energy from people at that point. You're not really trying to get anything but their energy and for them to feel sorry for you.
Right, it's very toxic, and it seems like that happens a lot in families, I find. That's my view, anyway, in the dynamics.
It happens in families all the time, believe me, mine is
It's very
no
toxic,
exception.
And that's very sick, the other person
is
around
and
them.
And it's actually, it's very common, and it's very sad, because, sometimes these people, you can't sit there and pick one thing that happened in your life that really stunk, that was really horrible, and then focus on it for the rest of your life and expect everybody to feel sorry for you forever and ever. At some point, it's like, let's get over it, people. Move on. It happened. It sucks. It's over. Let's move on. you know, and people get so stuck in one bad thing, you know, maybe something that happened when they were young in their childhood or whatever, or, you know, they didn't have the perfect childhood. Well, a lot of people don't have great childhoods, but a lot of people make something of themselves, you know, after a bad experience. So you don't have to be a victim. You know, you choose to be a victim.
And like you said, too, these are people also that, I mean, there's a hidden agenda sometimes with the victim. I mean, they purposely want to be in that place. That's where it sucks out all the energies of everybody else.
Right.
I mean,
right, because they get attention from it. Because mm-hmm. they're getting attention. They're getting, oh, that's so sad. You know, they get to tell their sad story over and over again. And while they're doing it, they're sucking you in. You know, they're sucking your energy and they're sucking you into their sad story. And then you're feeling horrible, and they walk away feeling a little better.
with a little skipping
yeah.
your step.
Yeah, that's sick, isn't it?
And so now we have another one, number three.
The controller, yeah, the controller. This is a vampire that has an opinion about absolutely everything. They know what's best for you, they have a rigid sense of right or wrong, and a need to dominate everything that goes on, every conversation that happens. And this is when I get really good, because this is when I'm like, uh-uh, no way, you're not, this is not going to happen. This is the type of vampire that I can easily stand up to, because they, you know, they're trying to control me, and that automatically is going to, you know, bring my claws out. So what you do with the tip that she gave for that was to speak up and be confident, and don't get caught up in bickering over small stuff. Assert your needs and agree to disagree. Like I stated earlier, this is when I take complete control over the controller and say, no, you're not, you know, you're not doing this to me. I recognize what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do. You're going to try and push your beliefs and your judgment on me, and I'm not going to allow you to do that.
Yeah, you know, and there could be more. And it's very difficult if you have two controllers coming at you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you get ganged up on, I mean, that's basically what that is. It's like you're being ganged up on in a conversation. Oh my gosh, there's nothing worse than that. There really isn't. I mean, I think we've all been there, where you could be the third wheel or something, and the two people are like, no, what you do, the way you handled that was wrong, and you're like, who are you to tell me that way I handled anything was wrong? You know, that's like, I'm writing a book right now. One of the chapters in the book is actually called Judgment Sucks, because it's actually going to be about that subject completely. It's like, you know, you can't tell somebody else how they would make a decision unless you've lived every day of their lives with them and had to make every decision with them. You know, how can you possibly tell somebody else, you know, what to do? So, what they should do, you know, when you're, one of my favorites, I have teenagers, I have these friends with very small children who like to tell me how wrongly I'm raising my teenagers. Yeah. I'm like, okay, when you have teenagers, we'll talk. Until then, you know, mind your own business, okay? Because you have no clue.
No, that's great.
It's like,
but,
that's,
you know,
teenagers.
Like you said, speak up and be confident. And that is difficult for some people, but that's a good thing to work on for some people as well.
Yes, absolutely. You have to. You know what? If you don't stick up for yourself, nobody else is going to. For the most part, I mean, you really have to stick up for yourself. I mean, without you, you've got pretty much, you know, nothing. You know, you gotta be your own self advocate. You know, and I think that you know, people that try to get very controlling, you know, take control of every aspect of a conversation, or they think everything you do, no matter what it is wrong. You know, no matter what it is, they have something to, you know, something to say to criticize, which leads into the Vampire 4. But it basically, it's they're going to just complain and try and you know, their way's right, your way's wrong, blum, that's it. You know, it's over.
So then you go into the criticize. That's
then
good
we
point.
Move on to the criticize. That's Vampire 4. This is a vampire that feels qualified to judge you, belittle you, and bolster their own ego by making you feel small and ashamed. And this is a really annoying one to me. This one drives me crazy, because I'm so not into judgment, and I don't like that feeling of somebody else trying to make themselves feel better or look better at your expense. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like that's really, really wrong. and that they're trying to make themselves feel better about them, and they do that by bringing somebody else down, and I think that's sad, and I think that is another very common energy vampire, people that do that. So the self-defense tip with that was don't take what this person says personally. Address the misplaced criticism directly. Don't get defensive. Express appreciation for what's useful, and then bounce back with a massive dose of loving kindness. And I think that drives them the most crazy is when, like you're saying, you know, bless your heart kind of thing, you know, where you're just like, oh, bless your heart, and you're actually, you know, basically not saying that at all. But you get to the point where you're just so you're feeling so icky, you know, you're being, I did it again, I said icky again, that you,
okay.
I keep doing it, like the fourth time, I've never used icky, I use it like four times in this conversation, anyway, so they're making themselves bigger to make you feel smaller, and I guess that's not cool, so, you know, not taking it personally is really, really important, and not getting defensive, but, you know what, recognize the fact that they're a vampire, that there's something wrong with someone who has to bring other people down in order to feel better about themselves. So if you're around that kind of person, feel kindness for them, feel sadness for them. You know, send them love, send them loving energy, because you know what, that's what they need. And sometimes fighting back with nice words for a criticizer is a great way to go. You know, when you have somebody just sitting there saying,
well, treat them with all the kindness will really piss them off, actually. Treat them with kindness, I know, and it really can take them back and stop, you know, it freaks them out, actually.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Kill them with kindness, and that's the kind of thing that, and you know, that's a very hard thing to do sometimes, but when you think of it as the best way to handle this type of person, someone who's just going to criticize everything you do anyway, you know, it's just saying something really nice to them. You know, they could say, well, I really don't like your shoes. I'm like, you know, oh, that's a beautiful necklace you're wearing. You know what I mean? And just they'll feel like an inch tall. You know, I mean,
well, diversion give a diversion away from what they're trying
to
do.
Absolutely, you're giving them a diversion, something else to focus on.
So then we get to I like the number five the best.
Number five actually. They're more intense. They're a little wilder. But this is one of those people that you're like their best friend one day, and the next day they are completely beating you up. I mean, you're just being attacked by them, and they're often threatening, rageaholics. They revel in like keeping other people on an emotional roller coaster. That's so sick.
What do you call this number five? What's the name for that?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called the splitter. They call it the splitter. She called it the splitter, and I thought that was interesting because it's basically somebody who's almost got like two personalities. You know, because I think that's where the splitter comes from. It's like you have a person who's, you know, your best friend one day, and this could be somebody you're working with, and then you know you walk into the same office. Same space, and you sit down next to them and say hello, and they look at you like, you know, you have two heads, and like, what are you talking to me for? And, you know, it's one of those situations where it's almost like you're dealing with two personalities, you know, and that's why I think the splitter thing came up. So that is an exhausting type of vampire. I would think that would be one of the most exhausting. Oh, they're all exhausting. Who am I kidding? But there, you know, this would be a bad one because you don't know where you stand from one minute to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So the self-defense tips that she gave for that was to establish boundaries and be solution-oriented. Avoid skirmishes and refuse to take sides. Avoid eye contact when they're raging at you, which is actually, I thought that's really important. You know, that's a great thing to do. When somebody's flipping out on you, like very angry and screaming at you, not looking them in the eye, you're not giving them what they need. You know, which is they're trying to get your attention by scaring you, by physically scaring you. So if you don't look them in the eye, you're not feeding them, you know, you're not feeding into their rage. So then they say to visualize a protective shield around you when you feel like you're being emotionally attacked. And, you know, and that's what we talked about earlier. And I think that, you know, everybody should do that anyway. I think everybody should walk around, you know, whether you do it daily or just in certain situations, or, you know, you do like I do and have it permanent. You know, you put a protective shield around you. And when you're, you know, and throw an extra layer around if you feel like somebody's, you know, if you come across a splitter vampire.
Yeah, I'd run, don't walk. No, but I think that's a good point about the eye contact thing. That's mm-hmm. very intense. I can see why that would be a good way to...
I think that I didn't really ever think about the fact that when somebody's really flipping out on you, they are staring you right in the eye, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how they're getting what they need from you is by they're forcing a confrontation on you. And if you don't look at them, you're not feeding into it. So I thought that was really fascinating. A great way to handle it. I mean, in a lot of areas of your life, not just with these vampires, but anytime you're, you know, in any kind of argument or something where somebody, you feel like you're being attacked, you know, somebody's yelling at you. So I just thought that was a really great way to handle it. No eye contact.
Lisa, you know, we're out of time, and this is really great. For all my personal reasons, this is why I wanted to talk about this topic. Well, you know, like everybody can understand, but I'm going to give out your website and also your, on our guest page, and your website about any things that are coming up, workshops and such like that. If there's anything you'd want to say now before
my website address is lisatarvis.com. I have a class schedule. I do classes about two times a month, two or three times a month. I'll have some sort of class. I'm a Reiki master, so I do Reiki level 1, 2 and master attunements and a Sui and Tibetan Reiki. I have those classes, and then I have meditations where, you know, we just all sit around and I talk everybody through a guided meditation, just a bunch of different types of classes like that. Mm-hmm. You know, really that's everything that I do and everything I've got going on, any radio things I'm doing or whatever are all on my website. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook, under Lisa Tarvis, and on Facebook under Metaphysical Healing by Lisa Tarvis. So, type in my name and you'll find, you won't be able to avoid me.
You're all over the place. I really want to thank you kindly because I have a great deal of respect for everything that you're doing in your work. And I love your website,
you so
how it's all set up. I've been over there quite a bit. And I really appreciate you sharing your insights on this topic with
us as well. I really appreciate you having me on.
And thank you, Lisa, very much. And I'll be seeing you around.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
That was a great topic. I do
nice
think
job,
so.
Nice job. It came out really well.
Yeah, I see what's happening to your voice. Okay.
It makes you kind of paranoid because you realize that, boy, there's a lot of people in your life that fit in those categories.
I know. Like I said, it's a universal, I think we all can understand it. We just now have a good name for it. So, but you, as Lisa said, well, you can find out more information about Lisa at her website, which is www.lisa.com. Last name is TARVES.com. And also you can find her contact information on her guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Yeah, I like that. I was looking forward to this topic. I feel much better. So I'd like to take a moment to tell all those people out there who say, like, stay away.
I'd like to take a moment.
I have garlic hanging over my neck. So I'd like to take a moment to say a couple of this's and that's, and be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, Bobby, Brenda, and Maureen. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready, or pencil. And you can write on anything, actually. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on Healing Power of Sound, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate that archive links and future show details to all your friends and your family and their pets and people that don't live in this universe, is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible. So please share that link with others, because I do find that these shows that we have are excellent. That's just what my view is. But so be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from paranormal, reincarnation, and the how-tos of psychic development, and many more other things. If you're interested in the reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. Brenda. psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics that are full of integrity, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. Also, there's videos of each psychic that you can look at them and they'll talk and you can look at them. It is an honor working for Doug. I've known him for a very long time, and it is an honor. And Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each of us. All the co-hosts here, Brenda, Bobby, and myself, on Psychic Access, and Steve, at talkradio.com, work at psychicaccess.com. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And it can be very, that can be very good for people. If you like our show, again, please invite your friends. And please invite them to join our wonderful chat room and listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We'd much appreciate it. And our chat room is one of the best, I feel, anyway. And I've been too many. I hang out in chat rooms all the time. Okay, the call-in number. Are you guys ready? 724-444-4851. So I'm not in there tonight putting that number in, but I'm sure Bobby or Brenda got on top of that.
I did. Brenda came in late, but I did it first.
You know that sound?
Is that me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
No, it's all muffled. It's like, what happened? Are you? Did you turn into those psychic energy?
I'm fine.
You were just
you
fine?
Sound like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, Dr. Evil.
Dr.
Evil. Yeah, maybe it's because you weren't talking. You know what? You better do some little exercises on that throat. Bench is on your larynx. I think it's because Steve's not here to bounce out.
The vampire.
We don't
it's
have enough.
Ego vampire.
Yeah, see, there's not another male energy here, so he is kind of off the equator. The equator's off because Steve is not here. Bobby, I'm sorry. Your voice is kind of like that, but that's okay. Oh, poor Bobby. Okay. Well, I'll go to Brenda. There's the BB. Brenda.
Yeah.
I would like to know, what do you think? You know, I asked her about, you know, and I'm real upfront, and I know I'm not a psychic vampire. I know that I have been at times in the family where I can't let go of some things that are very tormenting, but really have been brought on from other people. I take no accountability. But what do you think about, I mean, this is actually run amok. It's almost like it even goes into the gossip that people partake in. It's so toxic.
You know, when I thought about, when she talked about those types, you know, I have dealt with every one of those types, and some of them are my friends, and some are family members. Like my father, I have to tell you honestly, he's a splitter, 100%, and I grew up with it. You never know, I know that he's got a little bit bipolar, my dad, and he's a Libra on top of it with a Scorpio moon, and so he is definitely, and then my sister is like the narcissist, and I believe that they're kind of like their personality disorders. They really are. I mean, and it's like they cannot be changed. I don't care what anybody says.
You know, I think
they
that,
cannot be changed.
I think that, you know, I
maybe lobotomy would work.
Well, I've had one of those.
No. Well, seriously, they should bring it back.
You know, I think if after a while people play into these roles, now, you know, they play these roles and people have always gone along with them and no one has stand their ground. Because, you know, like I said, I call them crazy makers. It's all the same, really. But they can be all parts of what she spoke about. Narcissists.
You can stand your ground, but it doesn't. You know what? It rolls right off their back. They don't get it. They don't want to get it, and they're never going to change.
And they don't have to because they've been doing it for so long.
This is how they operate. This is their comfort zone.
And orchestrating sometimes. The hidden agendas and the orchestrating of everything. And I don't even like to compliment people like this, but they're amazingly smart in how, I'm not saying this in a good, they
are. I don't know, I think they're like looping all the time.
Yeah, but they can orchestrate.
The same behavior. They can orchestrate some pretty amazing things, but
They orchestrate something and they kind of almost like sit, they can orchestrate and take many people. Or a whole situation or an event. And then they sit back and they watch everything unfold. That's just really sad.
What they do is they get it rolling and then it manifests. And they cause the chaos and then they're unscathed. Do you see what I mean?
Exactly.
They cause the chaos, then they're unscathed. But one thing that that I found in common with all of these types is there's a distinct, they can't differentiate between the truth and a lie.
You're right. You're right about that.
Every single one of them, those types, you know, they can twist it to make it a truth.
I agree with you absolutely with that. That's a good.
Really, you know, the only way you can really deal with them is, you know, especially if they're a family member. I mean, you love your family members, but you don't have to. You don't have to.
Interact.
As an adult, as an adult, you don't have to get on that merry-go-round anymore. You can get off.
Right, and especially if you have your own children, like if they're younger, it drains you, and then what happens is you can't care for your family. And that's sometimes the best thing that could ever happen in some types of a learning experience with, you know, sometimes you want confrontation or you shouldn't speak up, but it does affect, you know, other people.
It affects everybody around.
Exactly.
But it's important to remember that this is that type of, when it's really distinct, that type of behavior is a personality disorder, and no amount of therapy is going to change it.
And plus,
they are who they are.
Yes, and we're not here to be no one's here to be the therapist because it's not fair to take that responsibility because you weren't put here. God didn't put you here to be at Miss Everything or Mr. Everything.
She didn't mention this, but each one of those types too, that behavior masks a very, very deep, deep set insecure person.
Yeah, I know. Equatoli calls it the pain body, but...
They are really, actually, really deep down there. There's this little tiny, like, terrified child.
Yes, I know, and that's why it is good. Everybody, they're not evil. Try to have compassion and somewhat.
You have compassion. You learn how to deal with them, but you can't. You don't have to play their game.
But you don't have to die for them.
Play their game. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't be their puppets.
You don't have to be no Pinocchio. And Bobby, how's that voice of yours?
How is it?
Wow.
Is it all right now?
Sounds very sexy.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what that was. I was just talking regular. You guys are saying I have some weird voice.
I think you're messing with my show.
I would never. I'm a show messer vampire.
You poor Bobby. Couldn't be poor Bobby.
He's a splitter.
the English is different.
I forgot all the different kinds, but...
Well, Bobby, so what do you say? What do you say? What's up with this?
What do you say?
You've heard me.
You know, I just think it's, you know, how I just kind of speak from my core, and it's a little unsettling in ways to listen to the different... types of vampires that there are, and we talk about them, but I think we've all been there, and that's where I think more compassion comes in from. I mean, not every single one of them, but, you know, like we were just talking about the victim vampire and these different types of names. They're all labels. They're all personality traits. They're all things that I think have been through at one point or another, and I think that's how you develop compassion. When I first started getting into Zen, I I had realized that there was a Zen saying that said, to know yourself is to know everyone. And the more that you learn about yourself, the more that you realize that, that a lot of people are the exact same way. And I think that's how you develop compassion. There's a difference between having been that and having still be that, and not, you know, obviously if some of us were a victim at any given time, I mean, I came from a family that, you know, there was no self-esteem and such. And so you find yourself in that role. And there are, in some ways, I think I've even come across it in some ways today, that it still affects me. And when it does, I just deal with it. And that's the difference, isn't it? I think that you deal with those energies and emotions. There's other people that completely identify with it, though, and they don't change. Like she had said, there's some people that just will never change. Or, no, Brenda said that, didn't she? Brenda said, they will never change.
They can't. They don't have a capacity to.
No, they don't even think about changing. Like, one of the things that you have to have in order to change is a realization that something needs to change. You know, if you don't think anything's wrong, why would you ever pursue anything different? And that's what these people do. I think they identify with it just so much that there is no change. There is nothing better. There is nothing different. They don't understand, you know. So, yeah, I relate to it all, you know, very, very easily. We come across these people all the time in our lives, don't we?
Yeah, I guess, you know what, maybe there's a good reason, the yin and the yang. Maybe this is it. But, you know, I really do feel that it can be very debilitating to have this kind of thing going on, or to be around this. And, you know, for me, I have had problems with, I've allowed untolerated too much.
Yeah.
And it's because I just want, you know, she was talking, I want everybody, I want to make sure everybody's okay, to the point where I've put myself in a role, actually, to where I'm actually open to people coming around me like that.
Well, you know what they say, a lot of therapists say that people who come in contact with, especially with narcissists, mm-hmm. they're the ones who need therapy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been going for 40 years. No, you're right, because it's like almost like you give in to the lower means. But, you know, she brought up something, and I wanted to share this because I never thought this, honestly, this was about 20-something years ago. And there's some very powerful people out there, and I'm not saying I believe in anything. Like I said, all I know is what I know. And there's some very powerful negative, dark, you know, you could talk about the white and the black, and I'm not talking about race, okay? I'm talking about negative and positive energy of people practicing magic, black magics, or the white arts to me is manipulative. But this happened many years ago where there were some people, and they were coming at me, and in my dreams, and I'm not, and this is never, I mean, it doesn't happen anymore, but these people were sucking the life out of me, and they came to the restaurant, whatever, they were coming, and I could feel, and plus I'm empath, and I could feel, and I thought I was going crazy because I didn't understand at the time my work and all that stuff, but it's amazing how much they'll come towards people that they want, that they feel maybe strong, or they're on the opposite end of the positive and negative, I don't know, and you can be very vulnerable to that if you're not educated enough or knowledgeable enough in something like that. Some people take this like it's no big deal. Okay, there's some people that kind of mess with your mind or they drain you, big deal. But it can be physically a problem, and it can make a lot of other problems, chronic illnesses and sick and just, you know, foundation of a mess of yet to come in the future.
It's a very complicated situation, it really is, because, you know, in times of stress, a lot of times they get worse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More intense. And when it comes at you, if you're coming, you know, from your heart and you sincerely want to help them and stuff, at first sometimes you just don't see it coming, you know, and until it overtakes you, and then all of a sudden it almost feels like you're in like a cycle of emotional abuse. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have to grow up with somebody like that.
Or many, like a lot of children.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I believe that we're born into this world with certain challenges, and, you know, even the psychic vampires, I believe, are born the way they are for a reason, you know?
I agree. For other people's lessons, it's like we need certain people. We all need to equal out to equator. No, they equal out the balance. But still, you know what? Actually, it still is good to work on things like this because, like I said, for me, I have a hard time saying no a lot of times, and I was aware of that, or I say I'm sorry all the time. One time, that's why I've been in therapy. I go, I'm sorry for everything in life. And it's like I found that it's like what Lisa was talking about. How can you kind of approach them? Even though for someone it'd be really easy, okay, I'm just going to say and do this, and that's how you deal with it. Well, for me, I haven't gotten better, so no one come at me. But I mean, baby step it to where you can feel okay, because I kind of like just want everybody to like me, and you know.
Well, we develop our defense mechanism.
Yeah, and
for me,
so
for me, I shut down.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know how she brought up a point that if the phone rings, I know I've experienced that. Oh no! It's like somebody that I just and I get drained immediately, and sometimes like okay, it's only my head. Why don't I just react differently? But it is hard. But you can do it. You can learn to do it.
Well, you have to. You have to approach it in a positive way because, you know, what else are you going to do? Seriously, you know? You have to hope for the best, always.
But, you know, Bobby, you have small children.
Yeah.
And it's really important for people to also, children, you know, learn what they see in behavior.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for parents to be what it is you're trying to teach your children. So if they come across a negative person, it doesn't do any good to yell back at the person or treat them in whatever way. They can see that some people treat them like that, but they can also see from you that there are some people who treat ornery people with kindness or compassion.
Right.
And so I think that you hold a particular vibration for them to teach them, here's how we work with that. That's what we do in our family. And then when they grow up, they're either going to choose to continue to do that or they're going to deal with it in their own way, aren't they? You can only just hold a certain vibration and hope that they follow that later in years. But you're right. Yeah, they see a lot. You can't – I have seen from the most extreme religious family try to protect their kids – and not allow, on the basis of religion, allow them to do certain, not to drink, not to smoke, not to go see movies, you know, back in that. And these kids grew up to be alcoholics, pot smokers, you know, everything that they tried to protect them from. You can't, I don't believe that you can protect your children, and you're wrong to try to do so. You grow up in the world, things happen, and you set that example. You be there for them in the best way to show, here's what happens in life, and here's how we deal with it, not shelter them from everything that happens in life. You know, I just don't think you can.
No, and it's also through behavior. And like Brenda, you said, there's behavioral problems, but sometimes they learn behavioral. I mean, there's personality disorders or whatever, but behavior of
they never
how
learn that.
Yeah, and yep. If the parents aren't teaching it. And, you know, I tormented my daughter going on and on and on and on about a lot of things, but she's a good soul.
Yeah.
Her head almost blew off a couple of times from me going on and on.
They teach it in school. It's math, arithmetic, history, and that kind of stuff, but never how to deal with life, is it? And it's up to the parents. And, like, when my household never talked about things like that. We just lived day to day. I got yelled at. I got, you know, embarrassed and berated and all that kind of stuff, but never how to, here's a problem, here's how we work with
right.
it, here's what you need to do, right? There was none of that, which is, I think, a huge play as to why I'm doing what it is that I do today, you know.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Brenda? Were you going to interact on that one?
I was going to say it's important for us as parents. Like, you know, one of the tools that's helped me is astrology when I was raising my daughter to know, you know, how to treat a young Leo, how to deal with her. Seriously. I didn't always follow it. I knew it. I didn't always follow it. But I think that, you know, like in the case of young Scorpios, they need a lot of love when they're young. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, and you can call it astrology, but you can also call it the type of personalities that they are and what they need, and to assess it. The quicker you can assess it, I think the early childhood is very important for people who turn, they'll turn into the psychic vampires.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And you know, you'll go into a nursery and you'll see not all children are born with a certain energy. I mean, they're different.
They're not. Like, some of them are born sullen, like very sullen.
And some are extremely sensitive to the sounds. Some aren't. Mm-hmm. And then it goes from there. And then we go into the gossiping of it. I really just want to make a point. Gossip is so
detrimental.
It's so bad, and it goes into what we're talking, what this topic is about as well tonight. It's just because you teach your children to listen to gossip. It's like, wow, what? Well, I'm here to say no more of this, but no more of that going on. And you know, also to be held accountable yourself. In the times, like, you know, we're talking about, well, if we have ever gone into poor me or whatever, or being this way or that way. But if I've ever done that, I can say I feel strongly about it. Now, I could be making it a thought, but I have said, well, wait a minute, I'm not being good. I'm not being the best person or on the higher vibration that I should be. And I'll cop to it. I even copped it in front of my little girl when she was little. I would say, I was wrong. You know, that was wrong. I shouldn't be talking about that person. I was wrong. And
I agree with that. That shows a lot of humanness, that's what takes place. You know what? I did this. I'm sorry. I should not have yelled. Mm-hmm. And I did. And now I'm apologizing. And that's what teaches them, you know, that you're human and we make mistakes. And this is what – I just think that's such a great – living example. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and then it helps them learn not to be psychic, you know, what they can do. Well, you know, never, you know, it goes without saying.
It goes without saying, so don't say it.
I didn't say nothing. Okay, I'm going to, I guess we're going to go into the calling area of this whole show, which we all like, huh? But before that, I would like to say to people, and it goes like this. I can't find it. Oh, yeah. I would like to tell people, when you do call in our show, we do ask that you please just keep to one question because of our time restraint. And it also helps us focus better on, you know, answering your question. And when you are in, you'll be listening to the show, but it will be answered in order received. And so there you have it. So the first call is for Brenda. And Brenda, we have Illinois.
Hi, Illinois. How are you? Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Hi there. What can I do for you tonight?
Well, I have a question. My twin soul has been with me in spirit since he passed in 2008. And I've been told that he's going to come back as a walk-in. And I'm told that he's tried twice and it didn't work, but he will try again. And I'm wondering what you see.
Oh, let me see here. First of all, I feel his love around you still. He still exists on the... He's just outside of your consciousness. And if you want to talk to him, you can. As far as him... You know, the whole walk-in thing, I don't know what you're expecting through that, but I do believe that if you ask him a question, you can carry on a conversation with him. He's all around you, his energy, and he wants to speak to you. He does. I believe that there's some things he still wants to say to you in regards to unresolved issues. There's a very deep karmic connection still in this lifetime and possibly even in the next with him. He has had a little bit of difficulty accepting where he's at or that he's even passed over. I feel it was something that he wasn't expecting and it was, he's still dealing with the shock of it, in other words.
Right, right. He was an actor in this life and he passed suddenly in 2008.
He was a what now?
He was an actor.
Ah, okay.
He was a famous actor in this life. And no, he didn't expect to pass over. It was an accident.
Well, you know, I feel that just from the other side, I feel that there's an opening for communication. Have you tried to speak to him or?
I talk to him all the time. I just can't hear him. But I am meditating, and I'm starting to get deeper into it. So I'm hoping I'll be able to start seeing him again because I saw him in the beginning when he first came to me. But I haven't seen him since. So I would like to have a regular communication where I can see him and talk to him. Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen in the dream state. You're only blocked by your own anxiety. You know, like when you try too hard, then you block it. You have to open up and just, you know, visualize the last conversation you had with him.
I didn't know him in this life.
Well, visualize some momentous words or that you resonated with. Do you see what I mean? And then I feel that he'll communicate with you in the dream state.
Okay, you don't see him coming back as a walk-in?
He's not ready for that right now. I don't see it. No. I'll have to be honest with you.
Okay.
Okay?
You see, I'll be able to start communicating with him where I can
do,
talk to him.
I do. I feel that there's an opening for that. And, you know, when people appear in our dreams, it just doesn't fall out of the sky. It's because there's a connection there. Mm-hmm. It'll be in the dream state.
All right, I just don't remember my dreams.
Well, maybe it's time to try to start, right?
Yeah.
What about the meditative state? Have you remember any of that?
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to go so deep into the meditation that I'll be able to start seeing him on a regular basis and talking to him.
It feels like that's your best course right now. I feel you're going to have success with that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lady Brenda. And we have Wisconsin for Bobby.
Wisconsin, hello.
Hello.
Are you there from Wisconsin?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, I was calling. I kind of had a question about, I've been kind of stressed and irritated lately, and I've been kind of going through some stuff, and I'm just trying to see if there's any light at the end of my tunnel, any hope in my future for whether it be like employment, my kids, just anything that's going to be good coming my way.
Well, to steer you in the direction of something good coming your way, we want to first put you in the way of receiving something good that comes your way. Do you see what I mean? So right now, with everything being so murky for you, you're attracting more of that to you. And so you're waiting for something good to happen before you decide to get out of the murkiness. And yet, it's the murkiness that is causing everything it is that you're going through. Do you see what I mean? And you've been like this for I'm sorry?
So how do I get out of that, though?
Well, that's what I'm going to work with you on. And we only have a few minutes, but we'll do the best we can to kind of at least get you sent in the right direction, okay? So you've been like this for a few months now, and it just seems to keep rolling around. Now, one of the things that I'm kind of being prompted to talk about immediately is you had mentioned something about your children, and I really resonate with that. What is it about your children that's got you so down? Because I see you as having been and still are in a lot of ways a really good mom. So what's bringing you down about them to see if things are going to get better with them?
Well, I have a couple kids. Well, all my kids were taken from me. I don't have any of them with me.
Okay.
And I lost three of them through termination. And now I'm going through my oldest. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's going on with that case. I mean, does it look like, you know, I'm doing the right things? Or, you know, is there something I need to be doing to get her or what?
Well, first thing, yeah, if you're wanting to have her in your household, first, again, you know, I'm going to bring you back to you just have to change yourself. You have to change some of these things that you're going through. Right now you're in such a place that, again, it just seems like you're just kind of barely hanging on, and we have to really get you out of that. Here's what I'll tell you, which, again, this isn't everything, because I'm going to tell you this, and I'll just be quite honest with you, it's not going to help you. I'll tell you what it is that you're wanting to hear, but you are still going to have to make the move towards the light at the end of the tunnel. For you specifically, yes, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. When is completely up to you. I see there's great potential for you to make it out of this fog that we're talking about. Huge potential for you to do that. But I can't tell you when that's going to happen if I don't know when you're going to start moving towards that. Do you see what I mean? I think that you'll catch a break in another couple of months that will give you a little motivation. You definitely have, you know, your angels and your guides around you that are assisting with this. But again, if you have your eyes covered, because there's a lot of fear going on with you right now, if you have your eyes covered, they the signs it is that they're showing you, you're not able to see. Do you see what I mean? So the things, they're really working. And like I say, in the next couple of months, you'll catch a break. And I do believe it'll be around your family. And that will give you enough motivation to maybe take the next step. But you have to be brave enough to take that next step. Do you see what I mean? So there's right. still a certain amount of courageousness inside of you, because that's why you decided to call. Even asking the question and wanting to go in a different direction is great. So that's a very good first step. And when, you know, again, when you catch this break in a couple of months, but I want to see you get better than that anyway. You know what I mean? Are you still there?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. So things are coming around. They will come around. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There always is, in my experience, for most people. Sometimes they choose to take it, sometimes they don't. But for you and your potential, it's huge. The last time you were excited and actually had passion about something was only about 5 months ago. That's not that long. You would do really well to focus on how it was before. You had made some choices. You talked about termination of children. You didn't lose kids because termination of pregnancy. You chose to do that, and that's okay. You got to stop being so hard on yourself. Where you were at the time and who you were with, the alignment wasn't meant to be. So one of the first steps that I would instruct you to go on, and then again, I'm going to have to let you go because we're going to have a lot of callers, but we can always continue this. You know, all of us work here at Psychic Access, and you can always get a hold of us through there if you want to find out more, okay? But one of the first things that I would really start doing is you need to be a lot easier on yourself. You need to stop blaming yourself so much for all of the stuff that happened. You're not letting your kids down. This is a break period for you. This is a time for you to get back to where you need to be so that you can start, like this little girl, is you can have her back into your life. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason they're not with you right now, especially this little girl. There's a reason. Take it as an opportunity to make yourself better so she can be with you. That's all. This is just a break period. Does that make sense to you? You see what I mean?
Yep, gotcha. Makes real good sense.
Okay, so start there. And if I was with you, I would shake you just a little bit and say, start there. And you know what I mean? Like virtually slapping you around and saying, you got to get out of this. And you know how to, because you're strong. Damn it. You're a survivor. Do what you know how to do and survive this. That's how I'm being prompted to tell you. And your angels are getting tough with you. At first, it's the coddling because you were in a bad place, and now all of a sudden your whole attitude has changed a little bit that I can feel. Yeah. And now they're wanting me to kind of slap you around a little bit and say, damn it, she knows how to do this. You tell her to get back to where she was, what she knows how to do, and stop, and I'm sorry, here it comes, stop feeling sorry for yourself and get moving. It's time now. You haven't done anything wrong. You're not being judged by anybody else. You're only judging yourself. Do you see what I mean?
Right. I get
okay.
it.
Yep. You. All okay. right. I have to let you go. Okay, sweetheart. But listen, I have so much faith in you, and you're going to be great. And I want you to call me back at some point and let us know. Okay.
Okay. What is your name again?
My name's Bobby, and then we have Maureen and we have Brenda on the line as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Bobby. You have a wonderful night now.
You too. All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Very good reading, Bobby. Yay. Very nice.
Thanks.
I mean that with all my heart. And
I don't think there's anything that you say that you don't mean, Maureen.
Okay, good. you got me all right. No, you got me right. And I have the next caller, and it's from the same state, Wisconsin. I can't say it very well, but Wisconsin. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. And what's your name, please?
Delana.
Delana. Hi, Delana. Hi. And what can I help you with?
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me what you see going on with my children.
Your children?
What's going on with, like what you see in the near future with me and my children.
Okay, could you be, because of the time limit we have on these readings, it would be more helpful if you could be more specific about it, because then,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Well, I do. Well, I don't have my children live with their father. I haven't seen my children. I periodically see my children. Not always on my part. It's due to their stepmother that I don't get to see my children as often as I would like to.
Okay, so you're wanting to know if you're going to be, if it's going to be coming, changing up or shifting over to where you're going to have more opportunity to be around your children more, is what you're saying, is what you're asking, correct?
Yeah, I'm wondering, because one of my daughters I'm having difficulty with her, and I'm wondering what you see around her and what's going on with her.
Okay, you know, this is what I'm getting. I do see a girl, just, that must be who you're talking about. It does appear to me that she's, it looks like there's been, how old is this girl? Is she older than 10?
Yes, she's 11.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
she's 11 years old.
Okay, it looks like she's been around some stuff that, like I was talking about earlier, I don't know if you had listened to the show, but about how things, you know, we watch our parents, you know, the behavior and stuff, and she had some issues about judgment, but those, she's coming to a place where I see her being very grounded, and it's really, I just see her heading into a real positive place in herself. She's going to be feeling a lot more grounded, and I don't think she has been feeling that way, and it's, I'm not saying because of you or because of, but it's maybe because of the her listening too much of some of the other stuff that she shouldn't be listening to, that comes from negative judgment or
right.
making bad choices that belong to the adult stuff. But I do see her
correct.
Looking like a really positive, she looks like she's a very good student. Like I said, I see this more so soon coming up. She looks very focused more than ever, and this appears like to me in the next, you know, month or so, and I could be wrong on my time, but it looks like that. And she's very interested in learning, and learning on a really much more even deeper level. She, her mind is goes on a deeper level, but she looks like she's going to absorb a lot of knowledge. It'll come easy, and that's a really good place for her to be. She's not so upset about what has gone on in the past. And I do see, I see stagnation over. I see more movement. And so if you've been having, and also I see very good timing for, okay, so do you see her, this daughter you're asking about? So she is the main person on what you were calling about, is what I gather.
Yeah.
And she's, okay, she's 11 years old. So does she not live with you full time?
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't. Okay, you know,
no.
I just think she's going to be more receptive. If this is what you're wondering, there's some manipulation and there's some interference around the situation, but she's not going to be affected by it because she's coming to, after 10 years old, a lot of times, you, even though you're getting more conditioned, she's kind of found her own way. In some ways, I know it's kind of a paradox what I'm saying, but I do feel that there's some there's an interference of another person. Okay, so there's is there a brother around here too? A brother?
She has, her brother passed away. She has an older brother, but he passed away. But she, their stepmom has boys.
Okay. Really kind of, those are the, you know, I'm talking about gossiping and just manipulative. You know what? I see a very positive moving forward in a relationship. I just think the timing's going to be really great coming up for you too. September and October look like the months it's going to be really great. And the timing is right and to reestablish the relationship. And I think that she's much more calmer and she can see more clearly and she has a little bit more knowledge about things. And also her school, like I said, she's very focused in school. And I feel that you're going to be very happy about that. Even with the outside influences not being all that good, like I see a boy, you know, if it's a stepbrother or whatever, she's really kind of not letting those things affect her or, you know, keep her from wanting to have a relationship with you. I do see a really good thing happening here. Or are you heading towards that direction?
I
really do. Okay.
I do feel like she doesn't want a relationship with me like that. That's why I was wondering, like, if she really wants that relationship with me. Like, does she want that relationship? Is somebody holding her back to have that bond and that relationship with me as a mother-daughter?
Yeah, well, I think that has happened, but I do see in the next couple months that won't be a problem. And I see her heading, see movement towards you. And regardless if there's other people that don't want it to happen, it won't matter anymore. It's just that's what's so positive about what I'm getting. It's okay. Those other people won't matter, and I see her really grounded and knowing. It's going to be really nice, and I do feel that the timing is right. But it does look like September and October time. Oh, did I see September? Yeah, September and October is where I see you reconnecting in a very positive way. Even with the other manipulation or whatever going on, it doesn't matter. It won't affect the situation. Okay. So, you know, I see you have something. You will not be disappointed. It's nice, and it should be, as it should be. Okay? You take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Brenda, hi.
Yes.
Virginia, for you.
Hey, Virginia. Are you there?
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm okay. What can I do for you, honey?
I am calling to find out. I have an, I call it a motivational email that I send out to friends. However, I have one friend that I'm pondering whether or not I should send it. Do you think that's a good idea or not?
You think it's not going to be received well, right?
That's what I mean. Yeah, based on their personality, I'm kind of thinking that, but I'm not too sure.
You know what? I'm getting that maybe you should pass this over, really, because it's not that it's a bad motivational email. It's just that I feel that they may take something personal from it, which is not necessarily the case. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
And that has nothing to do with you. It's entirely coming from them. So your instincts are very right on this. I think you need to follow them.
Okay.
That's
what
I
wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't send it.
I wouldn't do it. I feel that you're going to get a lot more success with the people who are ready to receive it. This particular person, it would cause like a little bit of weirdness, and you don't need to go there, you know?
Okay.
All right?
I guess you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very quick, very good, Brenda.
You know what? Yeah. She had a question.
She's direct.
She was very direct, and that's the kind of callers, you know, that's when we can really do our best.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to try that. Next caller, they're going to say, what this is bothering me, and I'm just going to say, cut it out next. Right?
It's very clear. I mean, I could tell you what cards came up. It was, like, totally clear. I just had to just say it. You know, what can I say?
Well, you can't say anything more. Apparently, you just got that right.
Right.
And bless your heart. I say
that. It's not that way sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's clear. Here's the answer. In 2 minutes, you're done.
And that's sometimes a very. It is. I agree. And Bobby, what do you think about Georgia? Georgia calling from Georgia. Bobby from Georgia.
Okay.
Hello,
Georgia.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What's your name?
Kathy.
Okay, Kathy, what would you like to talk about?
I'm trying to get a feeling. I had a phone interview. It'll be 2 weeks ago tomorrow, and they told me it would take about 2 weeks before they contacted me to move forward. And they did say I was the number one person, but I haven't heard from them.
Okay.
Am I getting a little anxious? Are they going to call me behind? They're slow. You know, you hate to be told you're number one and then like, okay. But I'm like, they did say 2 weeks, but 2 weeks is tomorrow.
All right. So first off, do you want to learn something?
I guess.
Or do you just want... That's so funny.
I know you're probably going to say have patience. That's why I was like, I guess.
That just didn't sound very positive. That's so funny. Like, so when I'm prompted to work with people, you know, it's usually angels and spirit guides and such that says, do you want to learn something? And I love people's reactions. Well, I don't know. I guess.
Oh, that's funny. Sure.
You don't
hear me,
well,
I guess.
Listen, I don't want to drag you into it. If you just want the psychic answer, I can absolutely just give that to you, and we can focus on your question.
Just give me the psychic answer.
All right. So I see good things for Mia, and I think that they said, you know, I resonate with everything that you said. They said that you're another one person that you know the interview, and they'll call after 2 weeks, and you know that's just fine. So absolutely, I see good things for you with that.
Do you see when they'll call for the face to face?
Over the next couple of days here, give probably about 2 or 3 days. Of course, you do have the weekend coming up, don't you? So 2 or 3 working days, I would put it at, but it's not going to be much longer past this deadline.
So you're saying probably Monday, Tuesday, I should hear from them?
That feels right to me, yeah.
Do you see me actually getting the offer?
Now, see, just to point out, this is why I was going to teach you something, because sometimes when you just go for a psychic answer, it spawns 5 or 6 other questions, and we just go round and round. So I've covered what it is that you were wanting to know. Yes, I feel good things for you. I feel that this interview is going to have been well for you. I feel that they're going to call you and want the job, and they're going to have you come in for it face-to-face, and it all went really, really well. So, yeah, the answer is all yes to everything it is that you're asking for.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay, and you're welcome. So, wow. So, Maureen, isn't that funny? Wow.
No, you know, or else.
It's something, you know. Well,
what was that all about, Bobby?
What was what all about?
I like how Bobby offers. I think it's kind of cool because, you know, Bobby, in some, I understand when you say, you want the psychic answer or do you want me to help? Or what I'm hearing you say anyway, my understanding, you know, direct you and, you know, people. You know, have choice. Well, you know.
Well, it's the thing. It's I can give you the psychic answer. Look, if you don't want coaching, that's fine, and I can just give you the psychic answer. But you can also see, it's in my experience, whenever you just give a psychic answer, which I did, it 5 or 6 more questions spawn from that, and I guarantee that she left on the phone. She's still hoping that what I said is true. She doesn't know that it's true. And so the type of help that I like to offer in any of my readings or my coaching or any workshops is the kind where you can absolutely walk away with knowingness that I'm going to get that job, or this is the right direction, that I'm definitely doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's more permanent. And so giving the psychic answer sometimes, in my opinion, unless, again, you know, somebody really takes it to heart and is listening, which she wasn't in the place to do, but there are some people that really listen and say, yeah, that feels good, I'm on vibration. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
I just don't think it works. It just spawns more questions. I told her yes like 3 times, and she still wanted to know if it was going to work out. She wasn't hearing what the psychic answer was.
Well,
so you, sometimes you see that, and so you try to steer people in the other direction. They just don't want it, you know. And so, you just do whatever they want. You have to be there for them in the way that they want you, right? You know, not the way that you believe that they need to go or that type of thing.
Well,
your opinion doesn't fall into it, does it, sometimes?
No,
well,
but
you know what? Free will has a lot of influence on that. I like to tell them that what I'm telling you will happen. You have free will. And, you know, in a case, just like you, when we were talking about that job, she could decide, well, maybe I don't want that job. You know, if she puts a seed of that out in the universe, those things become, you know, words and thoughts. Thoughts and words are action. Do
and
you
so
see what I mean?
Her, yeah, to teach her to get on that vibration that draws it to her instead of because she's getting nervous. So,
and I agree with that. I agree that, you know, you can, you know, there's just so many ways you can create things in your life.
Yeah,
you know?
And so I was trying to teach her, I think where it was headed anyway, that's what it felt like to me. Because, you know, when people come on, you have no idea what you're going to talk about, and all of a sudden you start getting prompted to say certain things. And so what I think was being prompted was they were going to take her in a direction to not only answer her question, walk away with positiveness and know that it was true, and a vibration that would have held that to draw the job to her. But now she's still, I believe, in a place of hoping, wondering, and still anxious the fact that they're not going to call. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And yeah.
It's tough. So, you have to realize, like Brenda said, you're going to create that now, and then it'll come back. You know what? Sometimes it comes back. Not that she'll do this because she seemed like actually a very nice person. But I've had some people before, like, so Tuesday would come around, they don't get the job, and they'd be like, damn, psychic. Right? Like,
yeah,
he told me they were going to call by Tuesday, and they didn't.
Well, you know, I heard this one. I think I've talked about this before. You tell somebody in a relationship, well, I see you maybe meeting a really interesting person in August. So the next thing you know, okay, the bottom line is August comes around. Oh, you know, I never met anybody, but they sat at home inside that house of theirs till August, thinking they're going to. I said, well, why didn't you go to that party maybe in July when you're invited somewhere to go there? That's where maybe you would meet somebody that would introduce you to blah, blah, blah. You know?
Right. That's why you have to tell them. You have to tell them. Leave no stone unturned. If somebody invites you to a get-together, go. Because you can't just meet them just sitting there. You have to do some work.
That's the point. Yeah, you have to attract it, too. There is a question from Rufus. Rufus,
Rufus, we love Rufus.
Yeah, and Bobby brought Rufus into our lives, and we're so happy because we like
him. Well, who's the question for? You
Maureen? It's for Maureen.
Poor Rufus.
And it goes like this. I've been having a problem with my back. With your back. Will there be another surgery? Oh, good direct question, Rufus. I'm glad you had a direct question there. And I'm sorry to hear that you're having a problem with your back. And so you've had surgeries. Yeah, spinal stenosis or something like that, but he's in the chat room. I'm not reading what he's saying. But look, you know, this is what I'm getting. Rufus, come January, I'm getting that you're going to be feeling a very hard-earned victory with this whole situation with your back. Hard-earned is the operative word here. And I feel that I don't feel that you'll have to have another surgery, but I do feel that it's going to be painful, but I don't know. That's just to answer your question, like Bobby was saying. No, you won't have to. I see a hard-earned victory. But between that time period, I do feel, I don't know what you're going to be doing, you know, in order for this to happen or whatever, but I do see a very hard-earned victory. And so also, I feel that you were doing in the springtime, just like in March, late March, there was something that you started or began to do that may have a lot to do with the outcome of what I'm seeing. I don't see you having it, but it's a hard-earned victory, so it's kind of, there's some painfulness in it. I'm not saying so much physical, but internalizing pain, and I'm not reading anything to go, let me see, Rufus, are you there? He's in the chat room for anybody who's listening to this on archives. I'm not just talking to myself. Okay, so Rufus asked that question, and I'm looking to see if he's interacting back.
He's not yet.
How rude.
It is rude. You know, we love Rufus, but he's rude.
Rude.
In fact, we used to make fun of him and call him Rude Rufus.
Did? Well, then there. That's... Well, I believe everything you're saying to me. Okay. You know, Rufus, I see you're going to be feeling very liberated and out of this feeling of your back. And again, I'm not dismissing that your problems, but I do see a sense of liberation. I don't feel, or I'm not getting another back surgery, but I do feel that you're going to get some more knowledge about something that you're going to be able to do to defer you from having that back surgery. And I think this is something that you know of. And you know what? I'm all not for things that go bump in the night. No, things that are sometimes, you know, had two already. You don't need a third one. I just feel that I have a problem like certain things, and when people say, well, you can do this or that, and I know, you know, Brenda, no, I'm not saying anything against, you know, healing. I'm not. But there's something that I think that you know that you've grasped hold of before to try. I just don't see another one. But I do feel that you're going to have victory on this, but it will be difficult. But you're going to be able to utilize something else. Maybe you'll be a yogi. I don't know.
He says he's had two already.
Yes, I know.
But we'll be going to PT again.
And that's good. Maybe, you know, yoga or something like that as well. And whatever, there was something else that you did try, it looks like, and maybe that might be part of it, and being stretched. I like being stretched on those stretchers myself, but I know, I don't see any back surgery, but I do feel that you look like you're not going to be debilitated from this by not having the third one. So there you have it. I hope that it helped. I hope that answered your question. And he says, good, don't want another one anyway. You think? No, I bet he wants another one, you guys. No, I don't think so, Rufus. And you're going to feel, I just see you feeling better, but it will be, yeah, you're going to be fine. You're going to be flying. I jump out of airplanes. He's going to be jumping out of those planes before you know it.
Jeez.
And What's so geez about that? I love it. Okay.
Yeah, have you done that?
Oh, that. I got really into it.
I would never do that.
I would never do that.
I would take my chance on like a bucking bronco before I did that.
It's so, you know what, I feel so, it's my stress releaser. I love it, and I was doing quite a bit of it over a year ago now, but it's time to go. It's beautiful, and it's lovely, and I feel so good. And you know what, Brenda, the first thing I think about when I've been jumping out of airplanes, everything is on my side as far as gravity goes. Everything's up in the air where it should be.
The thing about heights, you know, forget it. That freaks me the hell out.
I don't think anybody should be jumping on planes just because on the bucket list. I don't understand why people put so much stress on them. I always knew it just satisfies. It's liberating for me. It feels very good, and I just connect with it. I knew it at the time, the first time I ever went, and I got into it. I went through the thing, was jumping alone and all that, and I knew it was for me. And you know what? I'm a big smile on my face, but I see these poor people like stressed out and their heart's pumping so hard they're going to have a major heart attack. I don't understand why people would do that to themselves. I don't. But that's my story. And I like it. And it's really nice to be part of the gang up there. And I do it over here in San Diego. It's really beautiful. Okay.
they have a drop zone over here near Lake Elsinore in Paris.
Yeah, I know that way.
And
I know that.
One of my horseshoer's clients was driving home, and a guy fell in her windshield.
Okay, that's really disturbing. I had plans to do Elsinore over there at Paris a long time ago. That was in 20 years ago, but now I'm into over at Brownsville over here in East Lake at San Diego, and it's quite lovely. And we don't crash into people's windshields.
Seriously.
You know, Brenda, it's not going to ruin my time. So
you know, I'm just, you know what, I'm just saying.
I feel like I belong more up in the air than down below. Even though I know I live below, I feel more at home up in the air.
Wait a second. No, you're Pisces. You have Pisces moon, right?
I have a rising sign. My rising is Leo. My rising is Pisces, but Leo's my sun sign. Happy birthday to me, not. Okay, I guess that's the end of the show.
Okay, and on that.
All right.
She rolls out. I can do it real good, but I'll do it later after the show. Or shall I even try to? No, I can do a very good job. But, you know, that comes us down to a great show. And I would like to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room. And also, I would like to thank Doug as well, as always, who keeps us in our place, on track. And thank you to my co-host. And Brenda, what do you have in store for us next week?
We have a show on psychic development with Billy Roberts from England.
Oh, from England.
Another accent? Yeah. Come on.
Good, we'll have another accent.
He's a very interesting person.
He's going to be up late for the show. He must really...
Oh, he doesn't care. He's a night owl.
We already got Steve, and now we're going to have this guy.
I don't... We're going to have Bobby from New Zealand.
or something. Like New York or something. I don't know. We'll offset it.
Or from Hagen.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I don't even know what place that is, but good night. Yep.
Night. Bye.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.